State your correct name for the record.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Fab says you guys sure you're equipped to rank quarterbacks. Maybe not. 713-780-3776. What other strife do you guys have? Whether it be my top 32 quarterbacks or they're live. They're on the internet. Junkies have a few. You guys don't.
No, go for it.
I mean, you guys are telling me it's a perfect list. That's fine.
No, I had a good list.
Maybe the best list, some are saying.
With CJ specifically, I had three quarterbacks that you had ranked behind him.
So we did Purdy already.
So Bo Nix and Jordan Love.
Yeah, I'm not a big Bo Nix guy either.
I
think he's also incredibly average.
Yes. I really think that this grouping that you have them in, it was the most complicated part of ranking the quarterbacks.
I think Stroud could thrive with Sean Payton.
Yeah, with a coach that knows offense.
Like, those two guys have... I mean, Brock Purdy's had some really good seasons.
I think about the Buffalo game in the playoffs. He threw for 280 yards, three touchdowns. They won in overtime.
Buffalo's defense sucks.
I know. And then CJ was just so bad that I just have a better taste in my mouth.
Sure, yeah. Bo Nix tastes better to you.
Damn it.
We can't let this continue to be a thing.
I was thinking about going all the way.
And then Jordan Love and CJ Stroud are very, like, the same to me.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I think they're very the same. The difference of why
I literally have them one spot apart.
Yeah, they're almost the same guy to me.
I think the three.
But I think that Love's in a more optimal quarterback situation. Like, if you were to define the better situation for a quarterback, give me LaFleur over
absolutely
a defensive head coach that has brought in two different OCs. One, he had a fire, and last year was kind of a major disappointment.
Yeah, the only edge there is Nico versus the wide receiver room. But Tucker Kraft at his best is better than anything else the Texans have.
Tucker Kraft's awesome. I mean,
besides Nico.
Packers are kind of deep, though, with receivers. Now, they don't have, like, a great one. Christian Watson's probably the one with the highest upside.
Big overpay.
Is it Reed? Reed was really good, but he was hurt last year.
Yeah, I'm optimistic on Golden this year.
Go Cougs. He was working out at U of H the other day. I didn't see him in Austin.
That's true. He was. Yep. He was working out tanked out.
He recognizes Houston as his alma mater.
That's it, really, like, within, like, that grouping. The only other one that, like, I'll say I'm much lower on Jaden Daniels because of his health. Like, I dinged him pretty hard.
I probably didn't ding based on health because I was looking at it from a, this is the guy I want.
But that's part of why, game. Like
Joe Burrow, I have a three. Like, you can make the case, well, he's injury prone, and you'd be right.
Yes, but he's also done it.
I'm surprised you aren't pushing back at Allen at four.
No, I mean, I have him higher, but it's if I'm within, like, two spots, then I'm not going to really, like, push back all that hard.
I thought y'all would get on to me with Stafford at two.
No. I think that top five is...
Purdy's the biggest difference I have. There's a few others. I think you have Rodgers too high. And what was
I trust the veteran.
I guess so. And I have Dak considerably higher.
Higher?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think
those are the only ones that are more than just a couple spots.
Yeah. I really think that top five is pretty consensus. And I think it's dealer's choice past that. Like, I'm with you at Mahomes, and I think anything past that, anyone can make a really good argument. And you can make a good argument against Mahomes right now. Like, people can, based on last season and the injuries and how it wasn't clicking that well throughout the season. So even if someone says they don't have Mahomes at one, like, I would hear the argument. But anything past that, like, there's an argument for each one of those guys at two and each one of those guys at five.
Okay. Junkies, how Brock Purdy above Kyler? Well, I had Kyler one spot higher than Brock. I think they're pretty similar players in terms of talent. I think Kyler Murray's way more talented. I think Brock Purdy's probably better with the football, more of a winner, that's for sure. I'm really eager to see what Kyler Murray does with O'Connell, though. Like, I think we could be looking at the end of the season where we're looking at Kyler Murray and be like, yeah, this guy's easily a top 15 quarterback 100%. In the league.
I'm just trying to think, when was the last time we were like, damn, Kyler was really good?
Probably that year where they started 7-1. Was it 3 years ago?
22?
3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, it's just been so long.
It has been.
But I think it's kind of similar to Stroud.
This is
I think
a huge year for him.
I think it's been beaten out of him.
Okay, yeah.
It's like
yeah.
watching a play. His head drops. He's looking at the rush. I'm a sucker for his talent. His raw talent's amazing, and but I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, I'm with Jeremy. I think it's still there. And it's the one place where, like, it's getting a huge benefit of the doubt because of Sam Darnold. Because we would have said the exact same thing about Sam Darnold 2 years ago, where there's no chance, he's seeing ghosts, and then he goes and works with Kevin O'Connell, and until the last two games of that season, he was MVP-worthy in Minnesota. And then he goes and wins the Super Bowl the following year. Like, Kyler feels he could very easily do it. That's a team that won 9 football games last year with some of the worst quarterback play in the NFL. The only thing I don't understand is how people keep saying in Minnesota that it's a true camp battle. I'm like,
well, I think that's just all wordplay.
Why?
I think that's just talk.
Like, is it to tell Kyler to not play Call of Duty?
Yeah, it's maybe to try to light a fire on his butt.
Yeah,
his butt.
That whole situation's getting weird.
If Kyler has a bad year though, like, and he's still a starter somehow next year, I'm dropping him into the mid-20s.
Oh,
mid to late 20s.
If not into like the Geno category.
Yeah, this is a year where like I have him currently at 18. This is a year where he's going to move up 5 spots or move down 8 spots, mm-hmm. and there's really no in between. You know?
Yeah. But I think he's going to have a good year.
I do too. I actually do too. Maybe I'm foolish. Joe Burrow, top 4. He can't stay on the field. Fair. Just kind of talked about that. Purdy's in the same system Trey Lance failed at. Okay. Maybe that speaks more about Trey Lance, though. Like, what are we talking about here? It's a super quarterback friendly system. It's not like Trey Lance went to another system and found success. Trey Lance has been a bum everywhere he's been.
Yeah. That was one of the worst picks of all time.
Biggest beef, May, top 10. I think Drake May is a consensus top 10 quarterback.
He was for me.
Consensus top 10. Who are you putting in the top 10 over Drake May? Sam Darnold? Jared Goff? Justin Herbert? Baker Mayfield? Trevor Lawrence? CJ Stroud? Drake's easily top 10.
I'll tell you, I have one of those guys you listed above Drake May in my top 10.
Good forwardies.
But May's also there.
Sorry, but Purdy is known for his ability to process quickly and correctly. Fair. Stroud's biggest weakness, I believe, is the inability to process quickly. I think that's fair as well. Stroud decision-making, quote, quarterback smarts, needs extreme work, all things being equal. For sure. We did an hour on that yesterday. Goff is too high. 12's too high for Goff.
I'll tell you, he's going to be higher on my list.
You're going to have him higher than 12.
Yeah.
The only, like, maybe
I think
you
that's
could
a great spot.
Maybe you could move him down to 15, but that's like as furthest I'm willing to go. Like, maybe you could go Herbert over Goff. Herbert certainly is more talented than Goff, but Herbert has nowhere near the playoff success. Baker Mayfield over Goff? I mean, Goff has been to a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He's gotten pretty deep with Detroit. Trevor Lawrence over Goff? Like, who are you putting over Goff if you say that 12 is too low, I would like to know. Kyler Murray, the best athlete in the world, says a junkie. You're right about that. He is the best athlete currently playing a sport in the entire world. What other athlete was drafted in the first round in 2 other professional sports currently? Huh. I know people in the past have been.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not even sure it was first round for anybody. I think he might be the only one ever drafted in the first round in 2 different professional sports. He's the greatest athlete currently walking planet Earth.
He is.
Who else has been drafted in the first round in both in 2 different professional sports?
Not anyone active.
Not Kyler.
And maybe not anyone all time.
I don't think anybody's ever done it all time. There's been obviously dual sport players, but 2 in the first round.
When did Elway get drafted?
In baseball? I want to say it was the second or third.
Okay.
That's a good question. I think it was the second or the third by the Yankees. Oh, he was second round. Second round by the New York Yankees. Look at that. That's a pool, boys. That's a professional pool right
Boom.
There.
There we go. Jeremy Branham's right.
Says no other player has been.
So Kyler Murray's the greatest, Boom. Maybe
there
the greatest athlete of all time.
Jeremy Branham's right.
Maybe I'm being a little shallow by saying active. Maybe it's ever.
Just ever.
Burrow overrated, lived off one season and gets the benefit of the doubt. Supposed to put up great stats with those receivers. I sound like a hater. You are hating a little bit. Joe Burrow's been great.
It's not one season. Go to step 8. It's not one season.
You could push back at the win-loss record for Joe Burrow.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, outside of that one year where they went to the Super Bowl, there's been some, you know, not great seasons for the Bengals. Now, is that because their offense is bad? Is it because the offense is losing games? That's where I'm saying context not,
yeah,
not is king. Usually.
Yeah, 2020, I believe it's 2024. He would have been the MVP if the Bengals didn't have an historically bad defense.
Are there any other non-quarterbacks in the NFL, Taysom Hill, et cetera, that you guys think could make the quarterback depth chart for another team?
What?
Are there any non-quarterbacks in the NFL that you think can make the quarterback depth chart for any team, I guess? I mean, sure, like as a Jalen Hurts, like tush-push type guy, but not like to be a starter.
Yeah, not to like throw the ball.
No.
I mean, you have to – I'm sure there are a handful of guys who are playing receiver right now.
Yeah, like
they played quarterback in college. That we
like
just don't.
Going back, like Julian Edelman was the quarterback in college. Antoine Randall L was
is
the quarterback.
Is Felipe Frank still in the NFL?
Don't think so.
He's a tight end. Was it the Falcons last year?
Really?
He was a quarterback in Florida. Yeah, they converted him to tight end. But in terms of like being like a legit QB, I don't think so.
Is Logan Thomas still in the league?
I don't think so.
I think it's been like 2 years.
Yeah, I think he's been out a little bit. May struggled in the playoffs. The defense saved him. I still think he's a top 10 quarterback.
May was tough because the schedule was so easy last year. Like it's one where it could be a really challenging year for him this year, and last year could be a big, you know, question of who's the real Drake May. But I think he's a top 10 guy.
I do too. CJ over T-Law as a junkie. I did struggle on that one. That was one that I deliberated over for a bit.
I did not
struggle
with that.
Stroud was just kind of, you know, okay in the regular season, so bad in the postseason that I couldn't put him ahead of Trevor Lawrence. But it is one I deliberated on. Junkie Jeremy Brenham is wrong. Put some respect on Jim Thorpe.
Jeffrey Brenham,
best athlete of all time. Okay, how many leagues was Jim Thorpe drafted in the first round? Was he drafted in the first round in any sport? Kyler Murray was drafted in the first round in two sports. Jim Thorpe wasn't drafted in the first round in any sport.
Probably.
How can you tell me Jim Thorpe was a greater athlete? I can't even get it out straight.
No idea.
I can't even get it out straight. No, Jim Thorpe was never drafted. What do you mean put respect on his name? He wasn't drafted in the first round in the NFL and in Major League Baseball. Until he does that, you can't give him the trump card over Kyler.
It can't happen.
Thought we were talking about all things being equal. We are. Talk about all things being equal. Mahomes wasn't good before the injury last season. He lost all the close games he won in 2024. I will never doubt Pat Mahomes. Junkie says Dave Winfield was drafted in all three sports. What, in the first round?
Yeah.
You guys aren't listening.
No, but I think that's a good argument, though, like that it was three sports.
But I also said active.
You did say that.
But so what argument is there?
But then we kind of said all time.
Well, that's because I started talking about how great he is.
Yeah.
That there hasn't been anybody that's been drafted in the first round in two different professional sports.
It's true.
Kyler Murray's the one and only. He's a unicorn. Nope, not reading that. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Junkie, May was slightly better than CJ in the playoffs. Then you agree with me, having May over CJ Stroud. My top 1 through 32. All right, coming up next, 713-780-ESPN. I have a trade deadline plan for you guys.
Okay.
Astros. I have a buy track. I have a sell track and I have a hybrid track, but we'll get to those later depending on how the Astros are playing. They've won two in a row. They're red hot.
Bye, bye, bye. Win
today, it's a winning streak, baby. It's a winning streak. So I have a trade deadline buy track for you guys. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
The junkies love the list.
Junkie?
The junkies, nothing's wrong with the list. It's perfect. They're saying it's a perfect list. They're saying your Kyler Murray take is great, too. That's what they're saying. 713-780 ESPN. What was I going to do? Tell that junkie, babe, Didrik Zahiris from Port Arthur is the best athlete of all time. She was a golfer, wasn't she? Can you be the best athlete of all time if you're only a golfer?
No.
I love golf. My father made a living off golf. You're not the best athlete in the world if you only played golf. Sorry. Tiger better athlete than Jordan?
No.
No. In fact, Tiger tried to be an athlete until he got hurt.
It's true.
Yep.
And golf clubs for other reasons.
I don't know how y'all can argue Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray, only athlete drafted in two of the biggest professional sports in the first round. In the first round. You boys prepared for Bertha? Yeah, I think it's gonna be all right.
We'll be all right. We'll be on the pier.
I think it'll be all right. We're gonna, you know, in fact, we're gonna go stare Bertha eye to eye.
Yeah, we're not scared. We're not scared of no Bertha.
We're gonna stare Bertha.
Maybe
eye
if it was a different name, I'd feel different. But like Bertha is very like, eh.
I mean, Bertha's starting to, I think, lose its gusto.
Yeah, you are the weatherman of ESPN 97.5.
In fact, I think the rain's gonna get here a little bit earlier than Friday. It seems like.
Yeah, I think it was tomorrow, and then it's supposed to like.
Man, it's gonna be. We're gonna see like scattered storms like tonight, tomorrow night. Yeah, I'm not. I'm not that worried, really. Really not that worried at all. All right, so here's my trade deadline buy plan. I was out last week, so what did I do while I was out? I worked. I thought of ideas and segments, and a lot of times it's my biggest detriment. A lot of times I shouldn't be doing that thing. People are like, think less, in fact. But I have a trade deadline plan to sell. I have a trade deadline plan to buy. I have a trade deadline plan hybrid. Hybrid, you do a little bit of both. And we'll leak these out as how the Astros are playing. There's still a time between today and the deadline coming up, which I did listen to Dana Brown on the AM dial a little bit earlier today.
Yep.
And he's like, we're going to buy.
Of course they're going to buy.
We're working the phones. We're texting, and then we're going to talk. But you can't also believe him. He says this kind of stuff all the time.
No, but they're going to buy. They're not
I think so. I think no, I agree.
They would have needed what started over the weekend to continue.
Even then, I'm not sure they're selling. I think it's what they should do because they're going to miss an opportunity to take advantage of this, what I think would be a wonderful seller's market. Mm-hmm. Wonderful seller's market. I think you get a great offer for Peña. I think you get a great offer for Isak. I think you can get out of the Christian Walker contract.
Get out.
I think you would get a great offer for Josh Hader. I think you would get a great offer for Peter Lambert.
I think Hader, you could really like hoodwink a team.
I think you could hoodwink a team.
Yeah, you could get so much.
I was going to use those exact words. I think you could hoodwink a team,
especially because Mason Miller, like,
yeah,
they're going to ask for so much for him that it's going to automatically raise
seller's market
the bar for Hader.
I think you could get something for Yiner.
Probably
you get out of the Walker deal. Did I already say that? Yeah, but today the trade deadline plan is to buy because that's what our bosses tell us to do. It's what the Astros told us to do. So here are my plans on how to buy. Joe. Now, I don't want to trade Nayans, and I don't want to trade Alvarez.
Okay.
And then maybe there's another guy or two that Dana's just, like, enamored with that he doesn't want to trade. But I think they should trade for the best left-handed bat and right-handed bat you can get your hands on. Preferably outfield. Center field flexibility would be nice, but really whatever. I really don't even care about the positions. Like, you can figure out the positions later.
Well, now they have. Not,
like,
now.
Any the best bat you can find. You shouldn't be picky. I don't care if he's a left-handed hitter. I don't care if he's a right-handed hitter. I really don't care what position he plays. Like, you hear Dana say, well, we want a left-handed bat that can play the outfield. Screw that. Go find the best bat that you possibly can get your hands on at any position because this offense is inept of any sort of offense. You need somebody who can be a stalwart in the middle of your order.
Yeah, I think you need two outfielders now. Because before I was like, I would like to, but Cam Smith ain't playing no more.
He's only going to play against lefties.
So then
like.
You need
third
two.
Straight day that like, he's not in the lineup.
You need two then. Like, if he's only going to play against lefties, you got nothing in the outfield, man.
That's why it was dumb saying that we only need left-handed outfielders, though.
Yeah, you need two outfielders. You need a left field. You need a corner outfielder and a center fielder.
I don't really care what position.
Yeah,
figure it out later.
If they end up going two corners, that's fine. Like Cam can play against lefties and he can play center. If they're desperate to, or maybe one of the guys they acquire, but they need two outfielders at the deadline if they're going to really buy.
You don't have it. You don't have anybody on the injured list offensively, so you're not really getting anybody back. Bryce Matthews, but like you know, Bryce Matthews is a fringe big leaguer at this point, anyways. So like, could you trade for somebody better than Bryce?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. You could trade for somebody better than Bryce. Could you trade for somebody better than DeZinzo?
Yes,
obviously. Could you trade for somebody better than Cam Smith?
Yes,
yes, obviously. Could you trade for somebody better than Lucas Spence?
Sure.
Could you trade for somebody better than Taylor Trammell?
Yes.
Could you trade for somebody better than Lamont Wade Jr.?
Yes.
There's six guys that you could upgrade over.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, obviously you're not going to get six, but could you get three of the best possible bats and then figure out the positions later? Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely can.
You don't need – the whole left-handed corner outfit. No! Doesn't matter the position. Doesn't matter the side of the plate. Go find the best hitter you possibly can. In fact, I would like one from the right-handed side and the left-handed side.
Yeah, in a perfect world, yeah. Get a lefty and a righty.
And, like, I'm not asking for the top of the market either. Like, go find it. Like, this is a guy who came up a month ago, Taylor Ward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Ward's not going to cost you an arm and a leg.
No, but
Taylor
that's a good,
Ward,
that's a good move.
He would instantly be one of your best hitters. Mm-hmm. So, like, that type of guy. Go find a rental.
He's the rental, yeah.
Go find a rental who would bat fifth on this team, bat sixth on this team. Because what do we say about baseball? Baseball is the sport that it's about depth in baseball. You want to be solid 1 through 9. Obviously, the better players, that helps all that stuff too. But you can't have dead spots in your order. Mm-hmm. And right now, the Astros have a bunch of dead spots in their order. So you go find an upgrade for Taylor Trammell. He's batting seventh, who's a legit major league hitter. All of a sudden, your lineup looks a lot better. Your lineup looks a lot longer.
Are you thinking more length? Are you looking at mostly rentals?
I mean, it's going to be cheaper.
Yeah, I got one guy I'm in love with.
Who's that guy?
I want Jake McCarthy.
See, I'm actually out on Jake McCarthy.
Why? His numbers are good on the road.
Not really.
He has a 780 OPS.
They're better, way better at Coors.
They are, but like they're still pretty good at home. I mean, on the road, like they're not. He's not your typically Rockies player. Like, I think they're still pretty good.
McCarthy at Coors has a 935 OPS. On the road, it's 780.
Yeah, that's still a significant upgrade. And you got him for 2.5 years.
But that's also for a season. It's also for a season. Jake McCarthy is also a dude in his career who's a league average hitter. So he's having a career year.
Yeah, I'm kind of buying.
He's having a career year at Coors when he's 28 years old, about to be 29 years old. Like, I'm not going to take his one season as a Rocky and all of a sudden think he is this guy. I look way more at his career numbers than I do one season as a Rocky. And, yes, the numbers on the road, you would take that. You would take a 780 OPS and be one of your best offensive hitters. I'm not buying it. I don't think he's that type of player.
I think I'm in on him. I'm not trading Nains or Alvarez for him.
See, I also think he might be expensive. But that's he's got the years of club control.
What they cost? Like if that
baseball savant's kind of meh. Like, I'm not a huge Jake McCarthy guy. No, but he would play center. So I mean, would Jake McCarthy make you better? Yes. I just don't think Jake McCarthy is as good as a lot of people are saying.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it like I'm 780 OPS on the road is plenty good enough to improve this team. Now, if he costs you an arm and a leg, that's a different conversation. But who knows? And who knows what Colorado's going to want?
He also had a 592 OPS just last year, period. His career OPS is also 735. Like, he for his entire life, he's been a career average hitter.
Yeah.
He's been average for his entire career. And then he's a Rocky and explodes. Yes, his road numbers are still pretty good. Like, I don't have a whole lot of faith that this is who he is. I think he's had the best 100 games of his career.
Maybe, and so they'll probably, that's why maybe they'll try to sell high. But that's the guy I'm in on.
Now, he puts the ball in play. He's really, really fast. He could probably handle center field, all that. He does have a Jake Myers arm, but I mean, I'm not going to be mad if Jake McCarthy's sitting sick. Depends on the return, though. Like, if you had a trade at Kevin Alvarez for I would be roasting them.
No, absolutely not. Like, it's not worth the risk. There's not, this team, no matter what they do between now and August 3rd, it's not good enough to give up your two top 100 prospects. Unless the player you're getting back has significant control.
Yeah.
And 2.5 years, for me, at this point, is not significant enough control to give up one of those guys.
Right.
The team's just not good enough right now.
That's the thing. I don't think the Astros are good enough to be doing that. If you wanted to do, like, you know, some cheap prospects, I shouldn't say cheap because they're all cheap, but if you wanted to do some prospects who you don't think are going to be big leaguers, like, okay, whatever. Like, those guys are – you can trade as many of those guys as you want. If you don't think they're going to make the bigs, then you shouldn't be scared of trading a guy who's not going to make the bigs. That's the whole point of having a farm system, is so that they help your big league roster at some point, whether it's because they're on the big league roster or because you're trading them to add to your big league roster. I do think the Astros should sell, but we're talking about our buy track. I do have a few more things.
Okay.
What is your buy track? We want the Astros to sell. We realize it's not going to happen and that they're going to buy. And because they've won back-to-back games, it's our buy plan. 713-780-3776. What is your buy, B-U-I, plan? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5. You know what I want to buy? Food at the Federal American Grill, because it is delicious. And if I'm going to buy food at the Federal American Grill and drinks at the American Federal Grill, you know when I want to do it? I want to do it during the Summer Sunset Social Hour. Why? Because I can be a little frugal. In the Summer Sunset Social Hours, when the deals are there to be had, $10 appetizers of their delicious food. More on that a little bit later. $7 cocktails, wine, wine. Fantastic. $5 beers, cold beers, too. Social hour extended this summer at Federal American Grill. It used to be 3 until 7. Still an unbelievable social hour. The vibes there are great. Don't get stuck in traffic. Would you rather be in traffic bumper to bumper, or would you rather be at Federal American Grill? It's a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer. We know the answer. But it's at all six of their Houston area locations. Shepherd, Hedwig Village, Katy, the Woodlands, downtown, just down the road at 2400 Midlane in River Oaks, which we're going to be next week. We're going to be out there. You can come hang out with us at Federal American Grill during the summer sunset social hour. But it's extended all summer long. You get it from 3 p.m. until the sun goes down. They got all the drinks you want. And then how about these $10 appetizers? You're so lucky that they sell this to you for $10. Barbecue short rib sliders, the meatballs, blackened ahi tuna, truffle fries, and the Rockefeller oysters, and much, much more. Get on over there to the summer sunset social hour. Take the wife out to a nice dinner, too. Federal American Grill, where great food meets every occasion.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
And she hands me my raincoat. She's always worried about things like that.
It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Nats are up 7-0 on the Rockies in the top of the eighth. Run Nats minus 1.5, under 11.5. Diamondbacks lead the A's 9-2. We're on the Diamondbacks money line and the over 9, so that is hit. I'm a little mad at you guys, though. We had an argument earlier about the Diamondbacks. You guys wanted the money line. I wanted the Diamondbacks minus 1.5. So a little mad about that right now, but game's not over.
Not going to win them all. But we still would win. Just not as much.
Right.
Sorry.
Because what was the...
plus 156, I think,
yeah,
is what you said.
156.
Yeah.
Plus 156, Arizona minus 1.5. Y'all want to do money line at minus 127? Mm-hmm. I even asked y'all, sure?
I gave you my reasoning.
I know you did.
Yeah.
Your reasoning is great. And
it's just, when I don't wrong. Like when I don't like either pitcher, like I don't like the 1.5.
Brand, I'm mad whenever you're 4-0.
Yeah, especially after you put us on Lorne and random tennis players we hadn't heard of on Monday.
What we did good on tennis. About? We did good in tennis.
Did we?
Yeah, we went 2-0.
Okay.
We went 2-0, and then the other bet that we were going to lose, that Brazilian retired, and it saved us two losses.
I thought we'd lost one, but I forgot about the retirement.
We went 2-0 in one match. We were looking at 0-2 in the other match, but the dude retired instead of losing. So dishonorable.
It is.
But thank you.
That's what was in my head.
We won, though. We were 2-0. Now, we did lose Lauren, but Lauren, we had two bets at a half a unit apiece, and we only lost a unit.
Yeah, so it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
I think that was our biggest mistake. Last week was like when we did the summer league game. We should have done a half a unit.
Probably. Y'all did a summer league game?
Yeah.
It was the Monday of the All Star break.
You should bet tennis.
Yeah, not even crossed my mind.
Oh.
Like, because I wouldn't even know what to do.
Yeah, we'd be blindly throwing darts at a board.
That's ChatGPT. Who do you like in this match?
Will did do that.
And he didn't ask ChatGPT.
He always asks Grok.
He's a Grok guy.
Yeah.
Rocky Dana isn't going to trade for anyone that is going to do anything to help the team. It's just manager speak. Keep the fans interested. And we've been trading for a left-handed bat for 6 years. We'll see. The Braves did that when they went to the World Series against us. They rebuilt their outfield. Yeah, that's what they need to do. I think that's a great model. And Dana Brown was there when they did that. So that would be a great model.
That's a great point.
Thank you. You just trade for 2.5, outfield bats that are rentals. And you try to remember, Acuña was hurt. They lost to Acuña.
I know I told you this during the break, so I'm going to derail us here for a second. Apparently, the guy the Rockets just hired, Chip Engelland, they call him the shot doctor.
Oh, cool.
So apparently, he's like, that's what he's known for, is fixing broke jump shots. So, Amen Thompson.
So, watch out.
I know a doctor.
Is he a shot doctor?
Will doctor.
He's a mommy whiskers doctor.
And he didn't help. Didn't fix it. Okay. Hopefully, he fixes their shots.
Yeah.
Great. Let's see it come to fruition. You know what I mean? Why did he leave Oklahoma City?
Maybe the Rockets offered him a lot of money. Stole him.
I mean, I root for everybody that's in the organization. I hope he does really well as a shot doctor for the Houston Rockets.
Okay, so back to your plan.
They've needed a shot doctor for years, and they finally got one. But any bat you could find, couple would be best. Multiple would be better. Starting pitcher upgrade, but I don't think it's as important. Like, I think it'd be kind of cool if you could find a starting pitcher out there. I think it'd be very expensive, though.
How much does Blanco factor into that?
I love Blanco.
So if he's – so he'll what, get two more starts?
Love Blanco.
Maybe three?
No, it won't be three. So,
I mean, like, this is crazy. Two starts between now and the All-Star. I mean, maybe it's only one.
Yeah. They're like in the five-man, six-man. I think they're a six-man right now.
Are they?
Something like that.
But so, like, one more start. So if he's really good again, does that wash away?
I mean, you could still use an upgrade there.
I agree.
Like, how much do you trust Emi?
Zero.
Yeah. So, I mean, no, you could still use length as a starter. Now, it's not as important as the bats for me.
Agreed.
So, like, you know, that's – but you're always looking at it any way to upgrade your team. A righty reliever I would like is in my buy track, because you have a bunch of lefties, you know. Now, you did send down Brian King. Righty would be good. Some provisions. I don't want to trade top prospects. I wouldn't be opposed to trading a lefty reliever. Like, because you have a surplus of lefties. You just got one back with Bennett Souza. Maybe you trade, you know, an Okert to find a bat.
Sure.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. Now, Okert's been really good. I understand that. Hopefully, it would have been cool if Brian King didn't start sucking.
Yeah.
It would have made things easier, too.
If he would have been good still, and then you get Souza, it'd be easy. Trade one of those guys for outfield surplus from another team.
Yeah.
That's what we've talked about before, of two teams in contention helping each other out with, you know, with their surpluses, but they lost that.
Would you trade Okert in a C-level prospect for a rental outfielder that is going to play every day? Let's not great one, but he's like your six-hole hitter. He plays every day.
I'm a little surprised that you're even willing to do that. Didn't you want to keep Okert over Abreu?
I would. Offseason? Oh, yeah. Two different conversations.
Because I guess you could always bring Okert back. But
like, Souza's still under club control. Hader's going to make a lot of money for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. And King's still under club control. Like, you still have three lefties under contract for next year.
Yeah.
Okert's a free agent at the end of the season. And look, like, you're going to explore every path. But if there's, like, a contender that is just desperate for a left-handed pitcher, and they have a fourth outfielder who there is a rental and they want to trade or for a left-handed pitcher, I would trade Okert in a C-level prospect for a corner outfielder, like righter or lefty, that's going to be your six-hole hitter every day.
Yeah.
I would do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So I'm not opposed to trading an Okert. I'm not opposed to trading Bryce Matthews because I don't think he's a big leaguer. I'm not opposed to trading Zach DiZinzo. I don't think he's a big leaguer. So if you had to part with one of those guys to get somebody on this list, I'd be okay doing that as well. A little bit less desire to do that for like a reliever, but you get my drift.
Is the righty in the bullpen, is that a leverage guy?
I mean, it's going to be expensive.
But like, is that what you're, like, you're looking for a seventh inning pitcher?
Let's just say reliable.
Okay.
A reliable guy.
That's fine. Yeah.
Can I give you a reliable guy? Each deadline, I usually go through these teams and look at like, hey, this is a guy I would be interested in. But this year, the race is so, like, it's so tight. Like, I don't know which teams we would be like, okay, let's count them as a seller.
Well, like the Marlins are a great example of this, right? They're a game out of the wild card right now. They've lost eight straight games.
Like, I wouldn't call them a seller.
But if this continues, they're the opposite of the Red Sox. Where for this entire season, we were talking about, could the Astros trade for like...
I mean, how far could it be in a week and a half?
But they're an organization that knows they're not ready to win. So they could still be a seller. Now, Alcantara might not get traded. You know, like people have been hoping for like 3 years now.
That would be a smart one to trade.
It would be. But because they wanted to trade him last year, but he was so bad, they knew they were going to hold on to him to keep his value. So he could still be an option. So like the Marlins are still one that like I think you keep an eye on. They're a tough team to get a read on. Same thing with, you know, the Padres are interesting.
Let's do this Friday. Let's go through these teams that are sellers. And I mean, the Astros are going to have to still be in decent form, I guess. But we can go through these teams on Friday. Okay, this team is a seller. This team is a seller. Now, this eliminates the, like, you know, surplus for a surplus trade, but whatever. Yeah. We can ignore those. So Friday, we'll go look at these teams. We'll determine which teams are sellers. And then over the weekend, I'll pull some names that I would be interested in from those teams.
Okay.
All right. We'll do it Friday, though, so there's a little bit more information.
That sounds good.
Okay. Sounds like a deal.
I support that.
Junkie Branham, didn't we have a bet you wrote down? I don't remember who won. I only make bets with listeners if we hold the money in escrow, and there's currently nothing being held in escrow right now, so no, we did not make a bet.
That's not accurate.
What do you mean?
Don't you have escrow from Behan?
That's
a bet with
no,
me, though.
That's not a bet that I have.
Okay.
No, we call this the Junior Bronco rule. Why won't you make bets with listeners where the stakes are not held in escrow? Because Junior Broncos and I made a bet about Alex Bregman's contract over a bottle of whiskey that I won, and I still haven't had a taste of that whiskey.
And he won't pay for it.
He's welched. He won't even discuss it. Mm. He still shows up, too. Mm. That guy, man. How do you do that? How do you welch on a bet and still have the audacity to show up?
Great question.
So that cost him his spot at the listener party?
Yeah.
I don't think he can't come in.
Has anybody ever seen his face?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just asking.
I don't know if anybody's ever seen his face.
No, I tried to offer him a peace offering last year and invited him. He didn't come.
Yeah, he's not showing up. He's not showing his face. He's a keyboard warrior. He makes bets and doesn't pay up. So we call it the Junior Bronco rule. So I don't have any bets with listeners unless it's held in escrow, and I currently don't have any bets held in escrow. Brian does with Behanon. And I've seen Behanon's face, so I know who he is.
He will come to the listener party.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but either way, although I do trust Behanon, we still got that bet in escrow because of Junior Broncos. Mm-hmm.
So we should do it.
So no, we don't have a bet, Junkie. I don't know what you're talking about. The Astros should add a guy in center field who dresses as an 1880s Army general and fires a cannon after home runs. Yeah, but what's he hitting? Is he what's his OPS? That's what I need to know. Our textures are idiots. All right, 713-780-3776.
Smartest listener base in all of Houston sports radio.
They are, but they can be idiots. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
that was an
idiotic text, but like in you know, trying to be funny, which
just keep asking good questions. Don't ask dumb questions.
I can't wait to get some Casario sound. I didn't realize I needed that in my life.
You ready for it? You miss.
They can take it and shove it.
Yeah, kinda. I kind of miss Nick sound.
Scoffs.
Yeah, I can't wait for the 20 minutes of him acting like the smartest human being that has ever existed.
I mean, it's gonna be.
We don't look at best player available. We don't look at windows, or we don't look at.
They don't know. He doesn't know what it is.
I don't know what it even is.
Yeah, it's not even that he doesn't look at it. He doesn't know what drafting for need is.
I can't wait for more Nick.
Well, like you know, his first press conference actually should be pretty interesting. You would think all of it's going to be about CJ's contract.
It should. He should be
like it really should be like question after question after question about that.
Well, he's gonna sidestep it.
I know, but they should be put the heat on him a little bit.
They should.
Yeah.
I mean, he's sidestepping. Like, hey, you know, we're going to play the year out, see where we land. We love C.J. Stroud. Oh, you love him a lot, but you didn't offer him a contract, huh? That's how much you love him, huh? Is that how you show your love and admiration? Don't offer. It's like I love the lady in my life, but I'm not going to ask her to marry me. Mm. Well, you don't really love her.
You don't.
You don't really see a future with her.
You really
what
don't.
A great analogy I just stumbled into.
Yeah, you did. That was a good one.
C.J. Stroud to Nick Casario is the woman you're dating you don't want to ask to marry.
Yeah, you just don't want to put that ring on the finger.
Man.
Would you go to the press conferences?
What other gyms are we going to be able to stumble into? What do you mean?
Would you go to the press conference and...
I mean, why are you leaving? Why won't you ask CJ Stroud to marry you?
Casario, would you date a woman for 3 years and not make a long-term commitment?
Yeah, that's what CJ
This may
Stroud
or may not be correlated to your quarterback.
He was willing to make a long-term commitment with Will Anderson. Yeah. He was willing to make a long-term commitment with Nico Collins.
Twice.
He was, Jalen Petrie.
Yeah.
Derek Stingley.
He
put a ring on all those guys, but he's not putting a ring on CJ. Why? If a man was dating a woman for 5 years, and then it's hard because you're not going to ask multiple women to marry you.
Well,
I guess maybe in Utah.
Yeah.
Like, if you were dating women for 3 to 5 years and you were dating five of them in Utah, and four of the five women you asked to marry you, but the fifth one you didn't, don't you think that fifth one's going to ask you some questions? Mm-hmm. Don't you think that fifth one's going to be a little insecure about things?
For sure.
Don't you think us as friends to him realize what's happening?
Esme's pissed about this hypothetical.
Well, Esme, get the mic. Why are you so mad? Why are you mad?
Say what you said to me.
Esme just staring bullets into me. She's not even talking.
Ask her again.
Esme, why are you mad at this hypothetical? I think it's a good one.
So date someone and do whatever you want with them for 3 years and then never commit?
No, I'm not saying you should do that. I'm not saying you should do that.
Rotating or what is it?
No, I'm not saying you should do that. I'm saying that's what Nick Casario is doing with C.J. Stroud. Nick Casario has been dating C.J. Stroud for 3 years, but he's not willing to commit to C.J. Stroud. So what does that tell you about Nick Casario's true feelings to C.J. Stroud? He doesn't really love C.J. Stroud. He's using him. He's using them for his cheap rookie contract.
Yeah, but another thing is, I thought it was like a real conversation about a man and a woman.
No, we frown upon this behavior. We frown, we're all married. We frown on this behavior. Don't be mad at us. Be mad at Nick. Yeah, thank you for chiming in. We always appreciate it. We always like you know, a lady's perspective on things. Well, but that's what he's told us about Nick. That's what Nick has told us about CJ Stroud.
That he doesn't love him.
You know. Junkie says I miss Bill O'Brien sound. Should we do that? Should we do more Bill O'Brien sound?
What's up, Trevor?
Do they play anyone relevant to?
Can we just listen to Boston College press conferences on Monday?
Come in here with these down. I mean, we can do it.
I wouldn't hate that.
I mean, it's, they just the college Bill coaches.
Not Mondays, but like maybe like a Wednesday.
No,
thing?
But I mean, we'll listen to it on Monday because that's when college coaches talk usually. The O'Brien they do a Monday press conference.
Yeah,
we can do a Bill O'Brien clip of the week.
Yeah, I'd be good with that.
Yeah, Brian, you do that. You take put it on, okay. on your list.
All right.
We're not down. The sun is up, and we're fighting.
I do miss Bill O'Brien's sound bites now that you mention that. That's pretty smart.
I like that.
Yeah, let's go with that. All right, 713-780-ESPN. We got to get to break. We got to get to break. Coming up next, what are the worst ways to get fired? 713-780-3776. Worst ways to get fired at Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5. I will say this. If you do get fired, the best place to go is Two Creeks. They're going to be able to put you, you know, your mind at ease. You're going to find peace out there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. You're going to be able to ground. You're going to be able to touch the earth, touch some grass. In fact, you're going to be able to touch 92 acres. Of earth. You can earth all on those 92 acres. But Two Creeks Crossing Resort is awesome. Escape the rat race. Escape the hustle and bustle. Whatever's causing you that stress and anxiety, it's killing us. It's making our hair gray. That's why we need to go out there to Two Creeks Crossing Resort at least a couple of times a year. That way we can stay young. But escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing great outdoors. Book your stay at twocreekscrossingresort.com. They got it all out there, too. They got open green spaces for you, 92 acres worth. They got wildlife that you just don't see in the city. Beautiful, majestic trees, maybe like a willow, maybe like a live oak, maybe a pine. Also, some of the best fishing in Texas. They got the Two Creeks right there. Great fishing. They even got a catch and release pond in the middle of their property, which is a good way to teach the kiddos, I think, how to fish. It's just 90 minutes from Houston, too. You don't have to travel across the state. Gas prices are going up again. You don't want to jump on a plane. We get it. You go out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. You're there in an hour and a half. You're hanging out by the pool with a drink in an hour and a half that you just got at Swampers. Maybe you're sitting on the lazy River, part of their water park, Blue Bayou Bend. Maybe you're staying in the waterfront cabin, the treehouse, glamping out there. You have an RV, pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everybody. They're going to take care of you too. Food trucks, live music, weekend activities, stuff for the kiddos. You're going to love it. So book your stay at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get back together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room, I realized it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you. Yesterday, you've forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
What are the worst ways to get fired? There's been a lot of firing lately.
There has been.
No, I'm not a fan of that. But what are the worst ways to get fired? 713-780-ESPN. I got fired in the middle of a shift once.
So that was going to be my number one because of Ryan Clark. Like like getting fired in the middle of a show. I worked at a radio station one time.
I finished the shift for what it's worth.
Yeah, I watched an entire station get shut down or find out they were getting shut down while they were on the air.
Really?
Yeah.
How much did you have left on your shift when you got fired, Jeremy?
Maybe like 5 of the 8 hours.
Oh, damn. Yeah, I don't know if I would have stayed.
Yeah.
When I got fired from Gal, I found out I was going to get fired at the end of my shift.
Okay.
Because I wasn't on the schedule for the next week. And they, for some reason, put the schedule in the binder.
Oh, no.
Without me on.
Oh, no.
So I was like, I guess I'm getting canned today. And then at the end of like my, it was like two shifts. It was like network and then Palillo. So at the end of the network shift, I got the text of like, hey, come to my office. And I was like, that's what I thought that was coming. I was like,
you saw it coming.
I was like, well, I'm in on the schedule next week. I'm not on vacation. Like, yeah. That's weird.
That's pretty rough.
Yeah.
When I got fired from iHeart, it was the like Friday, headed to the elevator, and the guy that was over the board ops there at the time, well, actually still there. But he's, hey, you headed home? I was like, yeah, I'll see you Monday. He's like, actually, let's go ahead and head down to the boss's office. Like, oh, okay, well, guess I'm not coming back on Monday, so.
Yeah.
But I think if the optimum in that situation, like end of the shift, middle of the shift, like tell me before. I'd rather it be at the end than the middle. I think that's the worst.
Oh, because I'd walk.
Yeah, but I'd rather be at the end, but
yeah.
I'd rather you just tell me before I came in, because you basically got a free 8-hour shift out of me.
Yeah, the only way
you weren't intending for me to be an employee at that point.
Yeah, the only reason why I would stay in the middle of a shift is if they were like, your severance is dependent on
that. Well, I don't know how are they going to do that.
I don't know, but that's
because I guess they could say they fired you for cause then.
Yeah,
if you walk out in the middle of a shift you were scheduled for. I don't know the legalities of that, but that would be my guess.
I don't
know
the legalities of that either. Somebody said getting fired before having a baby. I kind of agree with that, kind of don't. Like, the financial uncertainty would be kind of frustrating.
Yes.
But then also, like, I mean, good time to be at homes right after you have a baby.
That's true. Yeah.
It's like, that part would be fine. I guess it depends on your finances.
I think if you get fired before you have a baby, you probably could sue them. Like,
nah.
No, I mean, they don't. You know, this is a right.
Maybe if you're a woman.
State.
No, that's what I meant. Like, if you're like the woman, if the woman was pregnant,
yeah,
got fired before they took their
that
leave,
could be a lawsuit potentially.
Like, yeah, like okay. A week before they take their maternity leave, that would be.
Like, you might be like, that might work out.
You might have something there.
The Ryan Clark one was pretty rough. I mean, yeah. They pulled him off the show. Hey, by the way, you're about to get fired.
Well, that's the thing is like he didn't like. It's not like it leaked because it got leaked. So it's like they didn't intend to fire him then.
Yeah.
It just got reported.
That was a rough one.
I think I think the coaches who get left on tarmacs, even though it's like
I feel bad. Like, coaches, their buyouts are so big.
I know. They do make so much money, but you're just like, if you're on the road and you get told like you're getting canned, like I'm guessing you don't fly back with the team.
I mean, I think they wait until you fly back.
You usually land first. Like, yeah. I think USC did that where I think they fired. Was it Lane?
I think it was Lane, but I think it was whenever he landed.
Oh, was it when he landed? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not as bad then.
Yeah,
like,
I think
if it was while you were on the road, that would suck.
Yeah, that is tough. Yeah, I don't think that they would, like, hey, you have to find a new way home. Like, they're not going to do that when they fire you.
Soccer teams might.
Maybe.
There were some, in the World Cup, we saw not quite that extreme, but we did see some. Because, like, didn't one team told, like, okay, now you're flying home coach instead of first class or whatever?
Yeah.
I think there's some international soccer teams that might do that.
I saw a TikTok the other day where it was like this husband and wife were on vacation. Now, they were on vacation in Hawaii. I think that they were pretty, like, well off. But apparently they told them, like, do a teams meeting. Like, I think they were there for, like, 7 days. And this was their first day there after they arrived the previous day. So, mm-hmm. Second day there. But, like, first full day. And they told them to do a teams meeting, like, that day. Like, it was, like, you know, the second day they were there, first full day they were there, and they fired him on the teams meeting on his second day of 7 on vacation.
Wow.
That's a pretty rough one.
Yeah, I think I've seen like the...
Because now that just weighs on your mind.
Yeah, like I've seen like the Facebook ones recently where like when Facebook did like a mass firing and they had like a couple thousand people on a teams call and it's literally just the HR person goes, everyone on this call is getting fired and the call's over. So it's like you don't even get like fired individually.
Yeah,
at least, like group fire. That would suck.
When I got let go at 6-10, it was at least an individual. It was because it was during COVID, a video call, but it was at least individual by individual.
Yeah, getting just like a group of messages.
Yeah, group one's bad. Yeah, that's bad.
That's crazy. Junkie says fired a few guys for smoking in company trucks. Yeah, that's not a bad way to get fired, though. Like,
you deserve it.
You know that that's good, like the possibility of that happening.
Yeah, like if it's in the rules, like it is what it is.
Junkie, I got fired while flooding in my house during Harvey. Yeah, that's a tough
that's
one.
That's rough.
That's a tough one.
That I might be at the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, I think that is the leader. I love how the company always wants a 2-week notice when you're quitting, but gives a today notice.
It is like the most ironic thing that is in the workforce for all of us.
I mean, you could give them the 2 weeks. You don't have to come in. Now, I don't know the legalities of the severance and all that, but.
I mean, if you give it, well, like if you're leaving, if you get fired.
No, if you quit. Like, you could say, yeah, I mean, you could not show up to work.
Oh, yeah, you can. You don't have to give it 2 weeks notice. They just expect you to.
Right.
Like, I quit jobs without giving it 2 week notice.
Worked in the outside lawn and garden department at Lowe's in high school. It was my favorite job in high school. My coworker, who had worked there for 7 years and I had only been there 6 months, failed to block off an aisle with a forklift, and they fired both of us on the spot. My coworker's dad was a manager there for about 30 years, couldn't even save our jobs. That's kind of crazy. I guess they're very serious about their safety. It's our number one priority.
Kind of makes sense.
Talking about safety. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a corporate thing, right? Like,
yeah.
This is just a, this is a non-negotiable. You don't, you do this, you're fired.
Mm-hmm.
Rough.
But.
Rough, but.
Also kind of fair.
Mm-hmm.
Like, things that are being moved in trucks, feel like you want to be extra safe with those.
Yeah, I've never been fired for something that serious.
Yeah, like that. That's what. Yeah, exactly. We don't have real enough jobs for that.
No, my dumbest one was I worked at a video store. This is like early 2000s when I was still in high school, and I just didn't feel like going in one day, and I got ratted out. And so my manager called me. He's like, "Hey, you, why again are you, you not in today?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm feeling sick." He's like, "Well, that's funny because so and so saw you driving around to." Wherever I was, I don't remember where it was.
That's crazy. They
like,
you out.
Yeah, I was like, okay, well, am I fired? She's like, yeah, you're fired. I was like, okay.
I got
that was
I,
it.
I got fired from a job because I got accused of stealing.
Oh. Really?
It was me and...
Did you?
Were
no,
you?
No, no. It was me and these two guys in my fraternity. We all worked at Banana Republic.
Joe's, he's stealing skinny jeans.
And like...
In Hawaiian
like,
shirts.
We like weren't paying attention and some guy just like came in and like took like two piles of dress shirts. And they just were like, it looked like collusion. So, like, they thought we were in on it, that, like, we just, like, weren't paying attention.
Crazy.
So they,
like, no, sir, I'm just dumb. It didn't care.
Yeah, no, they just, so they fired all three of us. I was like, whatever.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Junkie Flex, I've never been fired. I got kicked out and banned from my Home Depot for using their forklift to get a mower down from the top shelf. Their fault for leaving the keys in it. Yeah, that's a good point. Like, it is their fault, though.
Yeah, they
like,
left
if you
the
don't
keys.
Want people to do that, then take the keys
is,
out.
Whoever left the keys that's, also got fired.
That's awesome. He got the mower down on his own. Wheat straw fellow coworker of mine got fired for smoking crack and his crane. Hold on a second. He said fellow coworker of mine got fired for smoking crack and his crane during the night shift.
I'm guessing he meant N.
Yeah, like, is he operating a crane and he was smoking crack in it?
That's a good reason to fire
someone.
Yeah,
I would fire a crane operator who was smoking crack.
Got fielded from a food stand mid-shift and accidentally forgot to lock the door after closing and the place got broken into. Yeah, that'll get it done.
Mm-hmm.
That'll get it done. All right. You can send us more if you want. Worst ways to get fired. Also, when we come back, top quarterbacks in college football. It's about that season. It's going to be here before we know it. Who are the top QBs in all of the land? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5. All these quarterbacks, you know something that they have in common? They would love if Mike Holley was protecting them. Mike Holley, former offensive lineman, protected a Heisman Trophy winner. Go Cougs, class of 1990. Now he's protecting businesses. In fact, he's been protecting businesses for 25 years, quarter of a century. It's in his blood. Chris Fisher's over there. All the people over at HR&P are fantastic. Their customer service top-notch. And that's why they hire good people, they keep good people, and then they have an unbelievable culture there at HR&P. You're going to see that, and you're going to realize that that's tangible, but what you're going to want first is you're going to want them to take care of you and your business. Customize a plan for what's going to make your life easier, what's going to make your business thrive even more. And they do that at HR&P, whether it's HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding. They're going to help you in all of those areas, one of those areas, whatever you need. Not reading off a menu, no boxes with HR&P. They're going to completely customize a plan for what you and your business need. They do it in a way that's unique, too. Technology meets service. I already touched on that service. They're awesome. You're never going to talk to a stranger. That technology is unbelievable, too. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to someone that isn't familiar with you and your business. So call up HR&P and let them help you out. Make your life a little bit easier. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HR&P customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525. Or check them out on the internet at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
ESPN 97.5.